boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for another great day, another training day, another day that the Lord has blessed us with. This is a, man, it's a blessed day. Amen. I even got out and rode my bike today. Amen. Did my first, well, I think I just went about 3 miles because I just wanted to see what it was like. It ain't exactly summer here. But amen, praise God, giving honor to Jesus Christ, amen, and the Lord God Jehovah, who is the head of my life, amen, and to Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, and my saints and friends at Runner for Christ Ministries, and Word of Faith, and Great Faith, and Straight Gate, amen, if I forget you, just charge it to my head and not to my heart, hallelujah, amen, just thanking God, because it's a blessing to know Jesus. If you talk to people, you find out that a lot of people, it's amazing that it, despite all that's going on, there's this great disinterest. But that is the result of a lack of prayer on our part. You know, these things begin with intercession. Amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We do give you all the honor and the glory for this day. We thank you, Lord, for blessing our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, right now that you would continue to bless us. Father God, we ask your blessing upon those that are listening here today. amen, that you would touch the hearts, amen, of them and their families and those close to them, amen, that you would use them as part of your outreach in these last days. Father God, we're asking that you continue to bless the hearts of those who are going through bereavement challenges. Strengthen them with might in their inner man, because only you can. Bless them, because you're the only one that can heal the broken heart. But bless them to know that we are headed toward the greatest reunion in history. Amen. And then moving on into the second phase of life. Father God, we're asking that you bless us right now with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me. I ask that you bless us, Lord, to go away with that which you would have us to have, that we can let penetrate our heart, to strengthen us, to encourage us, that we can grow in the knowledge of your will. And we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're continuing with the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you have to think, when you read the Bible, you have to be mindful of the fact of who God is and what kind of person he is. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine, even though we were made in his likeness and image, still when you compare him to us, it's such a vast difference. I mean, tremendous difference. I mean, none of us are omniscient. There's some folk think they are. You know, some people would like to be, and I'm glad they're not. he's omnipotent. And that's the confusing part. Omnipotent is that ability to do everything. And so then there's the wonder is, if he can do everything, why is the world so messed up? Well, that's because he put man in charge, okay? And that's with a purpose. Remember, this phrase stuck with me the first time I heard this. And I guess because it came from the Holy Spirit God is a purposeful God. He never does anything without a reason. The problem is, I find, though, a lot of people blame stuff on God that ain't God. And that comes from not having read his word, not having spent time with him. So they don't really know his MO, his mode of operation. And there's some things the devil do that God get blamed for. A classic example is going to be a little bit of our discussion today, which is today we're talking about long suffering. You know, the first time I saw that word long suffering was when the Lord was teaching me early on in my marriage about what love really was. Because that's the key to understanding and being able to function in a marriage. You have to see marriage from God's perspective. The Bible is the only book on the planet with the rules to marriage. People have some similar concepts. They like to develop their own concepts. But the true form is only what is written in the Bible. And the problem, again, is a lot of people haven't read the Bible. This should be the primary teaching in the church. Family teaching about family life is really teaching about God's main objective. There's nothing more important. Having a car, Rolls Royce, airplane, jet plane, swimming pool, mansion, that's not God's primary objective. Because that's all temporary. Family is permanent and forever, and it belongs to him. See, and Satan has masterfully turned idolatry into a marketable enterprise. And people, they Google eye at it, you know. I can appreciate the effort and the benefit of running a company. Like, I'm not going to mention their name because people so lawsuit conscious. But at the end of the day, where does it stand when you go into judgment? I ran a company, okay? I made a lot of money, yeah, because it all belonged to God. What did you bring with you? What did you put in heaven? What did you store in heaven? Now, too, a lot of the giving, sadly, that they do is done for other motives. But I want to go past that. I'm going to stick on my schedule here. Because one person, I want to talk about one particular rich person, and his name is Job. Job's a classic character, and unless you studied all of Job, I mean, the things that his, what he went through is classically, is clearly long-suffering. Long-suffering, let me see if I can pronounce this word, macrothumia in the Greek, and it means patience, as has been said. Patience when it comes to Christianity is one of them cuss words that Christians don't like to hear. Endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, long suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Slowness in avenging wrongs. And this relates to, this is a relationship development. Mind you, what is going on here? Paul is this is typical of society. Okay, the Galatians, although they were Gentiles, Gentile is really mean a person where God is not the foundation that they live on. His teachings are not the foundation of their life. That's basically the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. A Jew is his foundational teachings, what he believed, the limits that he placed on his life was based on the Word of God. Same with Israel, but anyway, and for the difference for people that Israel, the nation of Israel, when they were 12 tribes, they got split up in 10 and 2. So that's where you get there. That's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of information. I'll leave resource sites webpage for y'all to access. But it's a lot of information. Because all this, the entire Bible, is about relationships from beginning to end. It's about how to, because see, we mostly focus on this I want to say lower level human aspect. And these are some of the things when you look at what Paul is dealing with, because if we may get into it today, I don't know. We're going to see where the Holy Ghost go. Long-suffering. Okay, long-suffering means something going on that you ain't happy with. Okay? Now, in Paul's new case and in Job's case, it was extremely painful, and they didn't have a lot of options. You know, they couldn't, like, run the CVS. You know, they had to deal. They had headaches back then. There was certain medicines back then, some of which are being revived now. You know, they call it the natural effect. They even have doctors that are called NDs instead of MDs, N as in Nancy. And they use mostly, not because the body was designed to repair itself if you feed it what it needs. But here God is talking about, remember now, think about this. If a person is, I'm 70, or I'm 69.8 anyway. Anyway, and if a person, I met a person that recently got saved, and it was like 62. Okay, so if they 62, and you don't know how much longer they're going to live, but still, this is a part of a lesson that they need to know, because it's not a right now only lesson. Remember, I'm telling you, if you go and read the Bible, you find out in the book of Revelation what happens. You know, you got the transition. We're coming up on the rapture right now. Even though they said no man know, now I see why Jesus used no man know the hour and the day. Notice he didn't say month, because there's so much happening now. If you miss the rapture, you deserve to be left behind. I'm telling you, all this stuff going on. Look at the news in other countries. Man, there's floods everywhere. Earthquakes everywhere, volcanoes popping off every day. See, don't look at America. America got a lot of praying folk. That's why Satan hates America. That the hatred on America, America has the biggest body of praying people on the planet. We getting it done. I mean, and just think about it. He hates us for what we getting done, and we ain't getting enough done. But that's my opinion. But anyway, all right. So we're talking about long-suffering, which for the most part is endurance. See, now again, there's pressure, there's challenge, particularly right now. Now, you know, and I'm learning this amazing God is just pushing things toward me, things that I wanted to know. I always wanted to know how does fasting really fit into a situation? Because, you know, it, and how long do you go? And that right there, you have to be led of the Lord. It's really nobody can tell you. I mean, God have had churches put a whole church on the fast, you know, for those that could. And there's a lot that needs to have to be explained with that. But all that relates to pursuing the will of God. See? And that's the same thing about this with long-suffering. Long-suffering, one of the key facts, if you go back and review the few last three lessons on love and on joy and on peace, they will allow you to, if there's no violence, no violence, I'm not talking about being in a violent situation. Listen, because, you know, none of us do well. If you flunk a violent situation, just say, forgive me, Lord, and go about your business. I mean, if somebody's swinging, you don't turn another cheek, God'll forgive you. Been there, done that. But anyway, but we are still talking, and particularly with marriage and family and children and workplace, because you got to keep conscious of the fact that Satan exists. Devils exist. Remember, Satan got kicked out of heaven with one-third of the angels, and nobody can really guess. You can only guess with God. There's got to be like a trillion angels, trillion demons running down here, and they don't have one job, aggravate us. But again, you got to do the math. You know, I've only heard a few people talk about this aspect, and that is God let this dude exist. I mean, it's clear if you look in Revelation chapter 20, when he locked him up, the earth is on peace mode for 1,000 years. No foolishness. No corrupt politician, no theft, no lying, no nothing. No sin going on. Probably some minor stuff with the survivors of the tribulation. That's where we'll come in, some attitude adjustments. But to train them, because we have been through it. We have been through it, and we will be so gracious because we've been on a whole different level. You know, it's just like people we admire. You know, you see somebody that has these skill sets that you say, man, I wish I could be like that. And they'll be looking at us and say, man, I wish I could be like them. They can travel interplanetary without a plane. That'll get them a goal to achieve, okay? Just like we have a goal to achieve. My motivation is my pastor. I mean, I ain't going to say he's an average guy, because he's a little bit, put it like this, he came from average. But when it comes to faith, man, he all in. He all in. He just believed God. He put God on the spot. You know, we believe in God for another airplane. We've been out of plane for a while. This man, he'd be all literally all over the world. Literally, you know. But that's God's business, how he get it done, get it paid for. We've seen, listen, God, he got King Cyrus to rebuild the temple. Read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, okay? But all this comes, see, this now, what's on the line here? What make me suffer long, okay? I'm expecting God to do something. I'm expecting God to deal with the situation. And in the process, I'm managing my spirit, because like I'm telling you, you're gonna hear more about this later on as time go on. You're getting a preview right now. This is all of a sudden they're gonna be this big wake up. You know, we're going to be living in a glory. You're gonna hear a lot of teaching on the glorified body. Count on it, because it needs to be understood. Once I got this revelation, I begin to see why good people go to hell. See, we know why bad people go to hell, but there are more good people, and more good people wind up in hell. Why? Because your spirit outside of your body is so significantly powerful than you can even imagine. John said we're going to be like Jesus. People that, like I say, that slip through their head. I'm going to tell you how you prevent it from slipping through your head. Ask God about it. That's who I asked. I'm notorious about that. Ask God about it. Because, like I said, when he's sanctioning in your heart, it's done. All right. So, we're going to go to the book of Job. We're just going to read a little bit about Job. Okay. And for those that may have just tuned in, our foundational teaching for this series is in Galatians 5:22. Matter of fact, while I got it up here, let me read that, because just you know, I want you to get it. All right, Paul is talking to his brethren in the Church of Galatia, which is an excellent book to read. You go back and read the whole chapter. But anyway, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, the word fruit is productivity. In other words, the part of the development that your life should go through, should manifest, is love. And there's some other series, there's another teaching I got on that specific area. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, that's saying a lot, because one thing for sure, you will be there. What they say, there's a test at the end of the class, at the end of the day. The only way for you to know how well you're doing with this is for there to be a test allowed. Now, bear with me, because I'm going to go through this kind of fast, because time moving. I might just skip through. But anyway, in the land, I'm reading in Job chapter 1 in the NIV, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. I know people call it Job, and that's why they think Job is a hard time in the book of Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 in yoke of oxen. The man was rich, put it like that. God ain't got a problem with people being rich. He got a problem with rich having you, okay? You know, I think in 2 Timothy 6:12, he said he's given us all things to enjoy, okay? I mean, God don't want us to be born. Heaven ain't a boring place. That's something else you'll see reading the book of Revelation. All right, I'm going to skip down to 6. Now, look at this guy. Job is not aware of this conversation. See, stuff is being discussed about you that you're not aware of, okay? But this was done so that we would be aware. See, that we have to think on these 4 dimensions, okay? We can't just think on earth. We have to think about the total picture, because when Jesus comes back, we will be in the 4th dimension. That's when you're talking about being able to move at the speed of light and thought and doing all these things that Jesus did, walk on the water and go down to the bottom of the ocean. There's 1,000,000-plus pounds per square inch pressure. You go down there and just look around without any equipment. See, I know it sounds fantastic, and most people, but again, I am sure you ask God about it, he'll clarify it. But anyway. Okay, now one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. Now, you know, for years I would hear people in church, and they would pray and command Satan to return to hell from whence he came. He don't run hell. If you read in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Okay, he snatched the keys from him. He no longer running nothing. He's just running around being stupid. But he has access to heaven. He know your business. He sees your blessings coming. He see the blessing truck backing up, and that's when they say the devil start messing, when God start blessing. This is another reason. See, this is a classic book. You got to sit down, take your time, and read the book of Job slowly, because it's giving you what it's like to be under extreme psychological pressure and pain and agony whilst believing God, and you ain't did nothing wrong. Because what we said in verse 1, it says that Job was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. What I read to y'all last week, 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3:12, they that live godly shall. They that want to live godly shall suffer persecution. Come with the process. Because, again, you have to think eternally. Not weekly, monthly, eternally. We don't know what our assignment's going to be 15,000 years from now. You probably be on a planet that don't even have a name right now, okay? You may be on Alpha Centauri. I just know we ain't gonna all just be sitting around all day fishing out of the river of life, okay? So, anyway. Okay, so the angels are before God, and the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered, "From roaming through the earth and going to and fro, getting in folk business." And the Lord said to Satan, wait a minute. And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that no one on the earth is like him? He is blameless, upright, a man who fears me and shuns evil." Okay. Then Satan said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him?" See, you protect it as long as you're walking upright before God. Psalm 34:7, angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him. Fear, reverence, not shake and shudder, reverence. You know, watch your guard your mouth when ain't nobody else around, you know. Listen, when you cussing, it's like laying on your back and spitting in the air, okay? You putting something on yourself. You can cuss, but you're really, your words, every word out of your mouth carry power. So if you don't want it in your life, don't let it come out of your mouth. Because a lot of people's lives is full of because it came out of their mouth. You figure that one out real quick. All right, so Job, his Satan is saying, "Well, look, dude, you're the blessed man. He's got the best of everything. And you know, yeah, he goes serve you." Yes, there's an incentive to serve God. Why not? He's here. We here, you know. But that's part of the process. But at some point, there's going to come a time when the test comes, what's more important? You know, a lot of people... Anyway, I ain't worried about that. Have you not put a hedge around him? In verse 11, he said, "But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse your faith." Okay, and then the Lord said, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now get this. I mean, okay, so let me run through this right quick. Satan goes out, kills Job's 10 kids, grown kids, destroys all his property. I mean, just go on the nut, okay? And, I mean, it was, matter of fact, I'm going to read this. It says on verse 13, "On the day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting, drinking wine in his older brother's house." Yeah, they drank a lot of wine back then. You know, they didn't get, you know, they had autonomous vehicles, you know. They got up on the buggy, wrapped the reins one time, and Bessie took them on home. They laid down and slept it off. But anyway, but the messengers came to Job, and the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And the Sabians attacked and carried them off. And they put the servants to the sword, meaning they killed them. "And I am the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking... Now, mind you, this guy got a lot of property and people, and I mean, they probably own half a state, you know. While he was speaking, another messenger came. The fire of God fell from the sky. It was not from God, it was from the devil. But anyway, he's the prince of the power there, and he can do that. "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep in the service, and I am the only one who has escaped." So this dude is on the rampage. Satan is. "And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came. The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off." So he getting ripped off big time. And then another messenger came. Verse 18. "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house. And when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they are all dead. And at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then... he fell to the ground in worship." Fell to the ground in worship after all that. "He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.'" In all this, Job did not sin, charging God with wrongdoing. Okay? Now, if you read it clearly, I ain't going to get into the debate as to how this all came about, because I disagree with most people, but the fact of the matter is, life happens. I mean, I've met people, you know, you're going to have challenges. But again, it is with purpose. It's just like anything. I mean, when you go through military training, there used to be a time everybody had to go to the military, and that stopped in the 70s. They expected you to do 2 years in the military. They blessed you for it, you know. We don't have no threat of war. Still in some countries it's like that. But in the process of becoming a soldier from a civilian, there's teaching and there's training. There's teaching and there's training. And the training is to get your senses to respond properly to the situation. You know, it's like the thing that I have to be conscious of. It's amazing in my own house. My wife will not sneak up on me because I may react defensively, which could cause her physical harm, you know, because I was taught to strike first, ask question later, okay? I mean, it's like that. You know, that's part of my training. Like I said, we were taught when you're in law enforcement, you go to the gun range. It was an outdoor range. You go to or the indoor range. You go to it with the lights on, and then you come back later on with the lights on, and it's almost dark, and you shoot the same target, and you are with the 80% accuracy almost every time. So what are we supposed to do while we're in the midst of long suffering? We are supposed to do what Job did. It says, may the name of the Lord be praised. See, this is where praise really comes in. We go back to our other characters, Paul and Silas, at midnight while they locked up in jail. They was in the hole, in the jail. For what? Preaching the gospel. Peter, locked up in jail. For what? Preaching the gospel. Trying to make the world a better place and you get locked up. Because if you're dealing with this, you know, if everybody in the world lived by this standard, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't, because you would not allow greed. Greed is superseded by love. See, and we would not have psychiatrists wouldn't be in such millionaires now because of people wanting someone to tell them how to have peace, and then give them some pills or write you a prescription. Most people, I ain't gonna get into that. Listen, you want peace? You need to get with God and ask Him why you don't have peace, because God, He promises peace, and it is part of the process, part of the job of the Holy Spirit to bring that to pass. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. If you have an actual person being in there with your being, you are possessed in the right way. Matter of fact, a Christian can't be possessed but one way. You can be afflicted, but you can't. Satan can no longer come in and just take completely over your body, because he'd have to have more power than God. That's a distinct difference. And sadly, there's some people experiencing that now that are finding out. I'm starting to see more demonic activity of that nature. But listen, you don't need an exorcist. You need the Holy Ghost. You get that with Jesus. People, I'm telling you, just living this unprotected life without Christ, if you're listening, you're in dangerous territory, because it's increasing. It's increasing. God is working through and with those who are submissive to Him. This play church is ended. It's over. See, you're seeing stuff. You're seeing more craziness throughout the world. Why? Because there's no longer, is a term, vicarious prayers being a major part of how God responds. You know, it's literally do or die, you know. And this here, let me tell you, this here, one of the things that I'm finding, that I believe, looking at the pattern of the Old Testament, enduring under pressure, negative pressure, is a lot easier. It's easier, or you're less likely, I'll put it like this, to turn from God than in prosperity. You do not find Israel getting in trouble when they were under pressure, because you got to get a prayer through. You want God to deliver you, and you know you can't be clowning when you do. It's some people out there, it really just amazed me how their mind functions to even think that God entertain what they believe. But then that's why this is how I end up praying daily. Once I get your name, you're on my prayer list. Because I know if you're doing that, you don't have a real revelation. And I understand they look at me, and they say, well, I'm just as good as you. No, and then you think so. But you know what? You can be. You can even be better. But if you ain't got Christ, you ain't nowhere near me. I mean, that's a very distinctive difference. And if you're not in pursuit of the will of God, I'm not talking about whether you called to be a pastor or nothing. I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis. You know, God may have told you to talk to your coworker, and you never did make any effort. Now, if they rebuff it, reject it, that's on them. But you got to make the effort. There's that continuity of doing what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. And that's challenging, because you have to overcome yourself. All right. But now, right now, look at what people are going through. We got this issue of the unemployment. Don't believe the numbers. I have some relatives that work for the government, for the state, and they tell you once you stop getting a check, you find they're concerned you're employed. You know, that's how they count. They don't count, actually keep track of who actually is working. Well, they do, but in numbers, about 50% more than what they claim. If they say 10 million, it's 20. All right, one of the things that'll make you have to wait and endure is when you're praying and someone else is involved, okay? Then you have to wait until they get the revelation, sadly, to do what is necessary. See, I'm trying to think of an example in the Bible, you know, of somebody that drug their feet because they didn't know it was God, but that plays a role in it too. You know, like I joke, but actually I'm serious, but you know, that Bill Gates should write me a check for $10 million. but that was an old prayer, and I ain't even worried about no more. But still, in his mind, he has to come to a conclusion and decide to do it. So you may have did all the right things like Job did, but then Satan finds, or constantly finding a way to try to block the effort. You know, and in those cases, sometimes, you know, there's a principle in prayer. One person can take on 1,000. 2, 10,000, 3, 100,000, 4 people praying is 1,000,000 power, 5 people is 10 million power. So, but again, when it comes to praying, you have to be in touch with mature, obedient Christians. See, that's where it gets narrow at. One thing is, a person, if you know somebody that has a life of prayer, there's a prayer life and life of prayer, odds are they meet the standard. Somebody that's praying all the time, because a person that's in constant communication with God, if something, I know from my own experience, like I've shared before, if I'm out of order in any things that you may not think that important, but the point that God will put me on hold, like Jesus said, if you have any of your brothers have an ought against you, go and settle that first before you come before the throne with your gift. See, because God wants that time to do it. This is about training day. It really is. You know, at the end of the day, you don't do this because you get points. You know, you're not working to get to heaven. You know, you know, if you did, the people disagree. I'm open for opinions. I mean, what else is it for? You know, but it makes sense. Listen, if your hand, if you go from one side of your finger to the other, there's more than 200 types of cells and probably trillions of them, but you control them. They don't control you, at least they shouldn't. You control them. A lot of the events we have, another area of long suffering is dealing with waiting on the healing, you know, that's non-life threatening. Now, I would be concerned. I wouldn't be concerned. I would ask God if there's something more I need to do if you have a life-threatening disease. Some things just is not life-threatening. You know, we wear out. We made to wear out. We got parts that just wear out. Or something abnormal may have happened. Now, that one of the things that supports one of the commandments that supports long suffering is love for God. Love for God. That's what'll make you. That's really the foundation or the biggest support, the biggest foundation, and that's telling you. And the first mention of that is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it says, I'm going to read verse 4 and 5, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you," it says thou, but I'm going to use the Equals English, "and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Now, you hear Jesus rephrasing that again in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37-39. And that is talking about digging into your reaches. That, you know, we remember we read God's definition of love is in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. And it said, that's the first time I've seen that. Love suffers long and is kind. And I'm like, really? Are you serious? But listen. Why? Because how I deal with this tells God what I'm going to do with full power. I mean, when I look at the world today, when I look at California's situation right there, now they're doing some long suffering, and there's somebody out there ministering to them. Now, whether or not they're receiving it speaks for itself. Because, you know, people want their own way, but I know they are being ministered to, you know, prayed for and ministered to, okay? But that is not, I couldn't do that. That's when you get into fasting. That's when you go, you know, you want a clarity from heaven. You want rapidness from heaven. You want clarity, and that's extremism right there. That's afflicting your soul. As when you see the term in the Old Testament, afflicting your soul, it's talking about fasting. It's talking about afflicting your own mind, will, and emotion. Okay, before the Lord. And don't just, like a friend of mine said, fasting without praying is dieting. Okay, you don't keep repeatedly asking. If it's something involving just you, you do not have to repeatedly ask God for it, but you do have to praise God for it and state it, because this is going on the record. So when it come to pass, God is glorified. And it's going to come to pass. And be conscious of the fact that while you're long-suffering, the local demon that's in your neighborhood or in your house or whatever is going to be trying to get you off track. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to suffer long. It'd all be quick. But there's a process in your mind and how you set up your thinking. Now, it falls back on how do you have peace. It's about a choice of thought. Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 4, think on these things. You know, you don't, I don't have my list, but anyway, let's read that, Philippians chapter 4, because this is how you get this thing done. See, that's how, because long-suffering, like I said, all these are connected, except for the first three, okay, I would say, between you and God, okay? The first three fruits is between you and God. Then you get into fruits that are between you and man. And then when you get to the last portion, the last three, goodness, faith, is you. And he said in Philippians 4:8, now, I got to read 7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which in the midst of all its craziness, which, you know, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Got to be in Christ Jesus. That may seem like they just stuck that in there, but it that's part and parcel. If there's no Christ Jesus, you can't get this. You know, you had to go to liquor store, drink a pill. Anyway, finally, brethren, now it's a mindset. I'm under pressure. Okay, got these bills, these folks. Some of these folks, if you missed it, if folks wasn't paying their mortgages and you were still getting money, you should have been saving money. You actually could have saved enough money to put down on your own house. Actually, if you sought God, he would have shown you how to take the money you save and buy a house. He'll walk you through the whole process. But that's another story for another day. Finally, brothers, think on what is true. What is it true about the situation? The truth, let me get this to you. The truth is what the promise of God says, not what is actually happening. The truth, and if you're in consistent pursuit of that, stay on that. Because let me tell you, once you get one breakthrough, you're going to stay on that pattern. Because then you'll know. See, that God does. Those of us that you know that you can't shake from his word, because we've been through it. Once he come through once, if he did it before, he'll do it again. See, and you, like I say, you can get this done. He say, think on whatever's true. Actually, it says noble. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Think. That's your participation. That's what you do with your mind. And granted, it takes practice. You know, some people get some parts real quick. Some people, it takes a while. You got to, you know, go through it a few times. But after a while, you get there, and you know what happened? You won't be taking medications, putting other chemicals in your body to keep your stomach from turning over. You know, a lot of people are dying from basically from what they think. I had a friend of mine. I still have a friend. He's still alive, far as I know. I haven't heard from him since all this COVID. Now, he's a psychiatrist. And he'll tell you. He's the only psychiatrist that I know that reads, actually teaches the Bible. Okay, so he understands the spirit of man from what man teach in medical school and what the Bible teaches. And he'll tell you that a lot of things that go on with people come out of their mouth. They talk their cancer from stage 1 to stage 4. And the saddest part is Christians do that. Oh, my God, I got cancer. What do you mean you got cancer? You mean you got, why are you owning it? Now, I can speak that. I've seen you a copy of my record, you know, from the Michigan urologist. They told me I had adenocarcinoma. Y'all know what cancer is. I ain't never let it get, when the doctor told me, I was, you know, because you went to your ass, and I'm an ass person, you know. My wife would tell you, I was at the doctor's, and when they was checking her, and I asked the doctor, what is stuff? I don't know. Now, he's a doctor, but he don't know. I'm not going to get into medical, psychological, anyway. But the point of the matter is, so, this is what all this preparation is. I wasn't shaking at all. I wasn't shaking any of that. I mean, this dude talked, the doctor talked about 15 minutes about how they deal with it and what they can do. I wasn't receiving none of that. I was like, I wanted to go to war with this thing. I wanted to see what this work would do. See, I've been practicing. Like I told you last time, I learned how to beat the flu out the flu. So when cancer show up, they're the same height. If I was in my mind, they thought they're the same height. So I'm like, you know what? Guess what, dude? You picked the wrong guy to battle with. But these things exist. So you're going to deal with it. The question is, where is your man? My man was on the promise of God. The Lord God forgave all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. By his stripes, I was healed. Done. Past tense. Now, all I had to be doing was my part. My part. Same thing. All the promises of God, all the conditions in the promises of God, Deuteronomy 28, hearken diligently, listen heartily at the Lord. Said, listen hard at the Lord. These are the things, and this is what it gets you through. You know, I want to give with this word, constancy. See, that's the thing. It's one thing to wait, but to be consistent. You know, I believe I have a series of teaching, and there's teaching. You want to learn about the power of confession. Because that's your active role in dealing with, I would say, a violent disease like cancer. I mean, you're dealing with, COVID is a large disease, but it's only violent because most people are unaware of how to deal with it. The same type. If you stood COVID, cancer, and the flu side by side, you would notice they all stand the same height. You've seen their pictures, they all stand the same height, okay? They're some tiny little buggers. They're large armies, okay? So you have to deploy a large army, okay? And even though in the case of Job, God sat back and let him attack him, Job, as we will find out, he had additional revelation, okay? You begin to fear God more when you know God more. There are ways, things that I do now that I didn't think was so essential that I do now. You know, like I kneel more in prayer. And like I say, I have a 4-inch pad. You know, and Jesus died on the cross. He took the nails, so ain't no need for my knees hurt. But there are times when I kneel, not because I don't kneel because I'm begging. I kneel out of worship. I can't kneel, obviously, when I'm driving. I'm almost all the time praying while I'm driving for me and other drivers constantly. See, that's the thing you have to understand. Satan don't want us to endure. He don't want us operating in his power because we have that power. I don't even have to know a person's name, but God can minister to them when I pray for them. And that begins the process of salvation. Then he can send another to water the seed, and they water the seed, and then God can get the increase. See, but if I'm sitting there and my mind is all caught up in what's going on, and I don't need to know. If I don't know what to do, that means God ain't told me what to do. And if God ain't told me what to do, he ain't worried about it, I ain't worried about it. I done been at them crossroads so many times, I recognize them, and they never have signs, okay? Now, if he did it for me, and like I said, I ain't, you couldn't classify me as super saint, but I'd be surprised when people try to say that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Then that must put you at retard level. So I'm a super saint. But, see, so all this is a process. Again, you got to connect with the fact of the matter is for eternal purposes. It's for your present purposes so you don't miss out. Our economic problems in the world today, which a lot of people are going to really have to endure because you can't keep pumping this bubble the way they're pumping it and it lasts because they don't have that much control. And Satan is a disorganized army. I'm telling you. It just can't keep going like this. But, and after it go kablooey, you won't worry. You won't worry because the same God back in 2000 when they thought all electricity was going to go out because the computers was going to shut down and people were stacking their house full of stuff. I asked God, what should I do? He said, nothing. I said, okay, And I ain't do nothing. I ain't spend no money on nothing. My wife bought some water, which, you know, that's not perishable. At least not in this house, you know. But other than that, we wasn't worried about it. Wasn't worried about it. Why? Because I had access. There's a thing right now they're talking about, should we be prepared? Yeah, for the rapture. That's all I'm worried about, being ready for the rapture. See? So I'm saying that you can, I forgot my thought. I do that when I be editing. I'm like, man, I left that out. But anyway, that happens. Long as the point gets across. Bottom line is this. Long suffering. It's about being submissive to God in your mind. This is where, like I say, people that love to praise God ain't afraid to praise God. Listen, now, you know, I have to hold my notes in a bucket, but the fact of the matter is, I'm going to tell you, when you get into that place, don't think, it's not just your emotion you be feeling. Many times God will come up and hug you when you praise him. He loves you like that. And when he does, I don't know if he have deposited what you immediately dealing with, but he deposits something. God never touches you and something don't rub off of him onto you. Remember that. And we just scratched this on long suffering. But anyway, so go to, we got a couple of minutes here. I love this stuff. Bottom line is, let's go to Mark. Just read this, because we're going to pick up on Mark right now. And this is one of the most famous parables in the Bible. And I just really want to read this verse 17. And it's a parable of the sower, so is the word. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand none of the parables. A parable in this case, unlike Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32, that's not a parable. That's a story of a real event that actually occurred. But this is associating, like Romans 1:20, and invisible things in him from the creation of the world that can be clearly seen. So dealing with an agricultural society, he presented things in an agricultural form. But he's talking about people being able to endure after you have received the word of God and holding on to it, because Satan comes immediately to steal it. I mean, he's on the loose. So you have to guard. God is not going to do it. He gave you power over him. He's not going to give you power and then him do all the work. No, it don't work like that, because you got to learn to be that God person, small g, God person. I don't want y'all doing me like they did Benny Hinn. He's teaching humanism, talking about man running the world. Man is running the world. That's why it's in the shape it's in. He's trying to run it and not do it God's way. I mean, we could have everything. We could have a balanced society. It don't have to be. I tell you what, when Jesus get back, it ain't going to be messed up. I know that much. Anyway, verse 4:16, Mark 4:16. It's saying, these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards. When affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And right now, you can imagine, we got it made here in America. We don't have to go through that. Well, not to the degree of being locked up in prison. I'm not talking about pardon. I'm talking about here in 2021. Excuse me, in some countries, they're being locked up in prison, told 48 hours you're going to be executed. I mean, you got to know the word then. You got to believe and trust in the word of God. So either way it go. You know, if I got into a situation, I've been in that situation. I got laid off, wind up right back down on the ground. You know, you get going and life happens. And I didn't know what I know now, but still it probably would have happened, because we went through an economic turmoil back in the 70s the same way. And before I know it, we was all living in a one-room, two-room apartment. You know, that's why I love my wife so much. She treated me like a king. Remember that, ladies? Always teach a man like a king, especially when he's under pressure. And he'll come through if he trusts God. I ain't sell no drugs. I didn't steal. I ain't do nothing. I just kept on trusting God till he opened up a door. And that's the whole thing. See, people are in prison because they don't know how to do long-suffering. They don't want to do long-suffering. Amen. Like I say, Christian life ain't no punk life. Anybody try to tell you that, I tell them, whenever I would hear people say that, talking about you hiding behind the Bible, I'm like, I'm sure here. You know, there's a weak folk. I say, try. Try to live right for a week. Yeah, I never heard nobody come back and say that again. All right. So we're at the conclusion of this, and right now, amen, to be able to do this, you have to have Christ in your life. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's an authority that God has put into the earth that allows us humans to have access to his power. But like, you know, in any situation where there's power involved, there's training involved, there's preparation involved, you just don't give. You wouldn't give a car key to a five-year-old. Not a normal person wouldn't anyway. Okay? You wouldn't give a gun to a three-year-old. Well, there's power, there's a lot of things to be developed, but you have to begin that. And you have to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this Christ, this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. That's in Philippians chapter 2. But you got to get it. And it's free. Jesus paid for it. It's free for you. All you got to do is say this prayer. Lord God Jehovah, I believe you are the Lord of lords and the God of gods. And I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I am a sinner and in need of salvation. And I ask for that salvation right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father God, I thank you that I have received him, and I believe you that I have received him. And if you're backslidden, just say this prayer. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God does just that. Like I said, cause and effect might not go away immediately. And it doesn't matter what your situation is. God will help you get out. If you commit to him, he'll help you get yourself together. I've been there, done that. Like I say, God saved me in a situation that I wouldn't have saved myself. He'll say that, Father God, I am sorry. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins, and I believe I receive it. And I thank you, Jesus, for being my advocate, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. That's simple. See how simple God make life? It is not complicated. The challenging part now is the development process, but know this, that you have the victory. And with that, I'm going to say, remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom, be at peace, and enjoy this life, and enjoy the sunshine, and above all, just keep faith in God. Hallelujah.
Grace through faith. I talked to a cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you, my story starts like this.
It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning. Sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep. My mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep. Don't remind me, even though I'm still alive, I can't tell. The way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to lead a mystery to me, so I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood, God. I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end, but I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred. Alone, I wonder.
saying? No matter my past, you still take me as I am.
Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am?
I had a few last words to give. I be telling people the reason to live, the reason to die. United with the king in the sky. This life is passing us by. I got no reason to lie. You'll never give the world enough. They'll hunger for more. They're fickle. Their ways are nothing to the wondrous Lord. More security than the man that left you. More love than the moms who kept you. They'll always accept you. Be everything you're supposed to. Let Christ rule your heart, mind, body, and soul. Cause he chose you. And if the world don't know you, it don't matter. You're God's child and he'll never disown you. Your purpose on earth is far from worthless. That's why you're glorified like your life's been purchased. And it don't matter if the world don't see us. We still mean the world to Jesus.
Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly? But you came down and died for me. Will you take me as I am?
Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith. Not works, ain't nothing you could do, ain't nothing I could do that could get us this great salvation that we got, man. It's only Christ. So if you feel like you gotta clean yourself up before you can come to him, forget it, just come to him. He'll take you as you are, and he'll change you from the inside out.